There's always things that you don't like about your job.
You work hard for what you want.
You know, every job has their ups and downs.
Whatever good job means.
I like the hustle. I like working fast.
It's not a career. It's a lifestyle.
The first stop on our 10-person journey through the United States of work is New York City.
Hey man, this is New York real estate. It's all like closed and crammed.
I'm in a pretty standard Manhattan office building right near 34th and 8th to meet Michael Duran.
Hey, I'm Kai. I'm Michael. Nice to see you, Michael. How are you? Thanks for taking the time. Sorry, my hand is wet. It's raining outside.
Man, Michael's 31 years old, native New Yorker, certified public accountant by trade. He has worked here, the firm of Prager Metis, for a couple of years, give or take.
We're a mid-size accounting firm, national practice, and we also have expanded internationally, so we're growing.
We're growing. Yeah, well, you can see by the construction next door.
Yeah.
We sat down on a couch around the corner from his cubicle near a kitchen that people were wandering in and out of, we should say here, to talk about his place in these United States of work.
Tell me about being a CPA. What do you do every day? When it's not tax season. I mean, imagine tax season, right? We know what you're doing.
Yeah,
but now,
so
what are you
tax
doing?
Season is... compliance, but throughout the year, we work with particularly my department's high net worth individuals. So, trust and estate's all about that planning for the future. What legacy do you want to leave?
Yeah.
How do you want to leave it? Protecting assets is really something we do.
Michael spends most of his days at a desk or in meetings looking over numbers and talking to clients. In our 10-person reimagining of the American labor force, he's one of four people in the broad category of jobs that the Bureau of Labor Statistics calls management, professional, and related occupations. In real life, that's nearly 40% of all the workers in this economy, the biggest category there is, and it includes teachers and CEOs, dentists, registered nurses, and architects as well.
So big picture, How's your economy right now? I mean, your economic day-to-day is good, fine, you need more, what?
For me, I would say it's on an upward trend. You know, it's not... You know, who doesn't want a better economy for themselves?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I feel any pressure or too much pressure from the economy. Like, I'm in a career field where it's a shortage right now. CPAs are needed.
Wow.
And firms are always looking to hire. So the economy for me is really well because my skill set is needed.
He makes about $85,000 a year, Michael does. He's got a 401k, a couple of months savings in the bank. He bought an apartment up by Yankee Stadium when he was 21.
So tell me you're a Yankees fan, right?
Of course.
Okay, all right.
When they're not at home.
Yes, that's which makes a lot of sense.
And if he lost his job tomorrow?
I can easily say I'll be fine, no problem.
That's not to say that every person in this slice of the labor force is doing fine, because they're not. But people like Michael, with college degrees, marketable skills, and professional certifications, do tend to out-earn other kinds of workers. Michael, though, didn't always know that this slice of the labor force would include him.
How did you wind up here? I mean, when you were 15, were you like, I'm going to be an accountant?
Man. No. I was going to be a mechanic.
You were going to be a mechanic?
Yes. So my grandfather owned a trucking garage. He fixed trucks and cars. This is something I've been around all my life. I like cars. Fast and the Furious came out when I was like 13. So all those things were where I was seeing myself going.
Till high school, working at McDonald's at the time.
So I think I was making $6.75 an hour. And when the high school senior came in who had just finished her internship,
right.
And she explained the process, you got to take all these extra classes and you got to get such and such grades. And at high school, I'm thinking, I just want to go outside and have fun. So yeah. I wasn't interested until she said, and then if you do well, you get this internship, you could make $10 an hour. And I was like, ooh.
He does it and winds up getting an internship with the accounting firm KPMG.
I believe it was $10 or $10.50 an hour. So it was definitely a big bump, and it was exposure.
If you hadn't gotten that internship way back and then been exposed to KPMG and all of that, where would you be right now? What would you be doing?
I'd probably be a mechanic at like Pep Boys or something, just because I had no exposure to anything else other than manual blue-collar labor. The only person in my life who had a college degree at the time was my grandmother, which she didn't use. She preferred working with her hands.
So fundamentally, you're first generation, right? I mean,
pretty much.
Real, for real.
Yes.
But that internship, that exposure, didn't just change Michael's expectations about his future. It changed his family's economic expectations, too.
Hey!
How are you? What's going on? It's good to see you.
I went up to Michael's apartment up by Yankee Stadium to visit him and his little brother, AJ.
I zone him out after a while. But
what teenagers do.
That is what teenagers do.
AJ's in high school. He and Michael are 16 years apart. And his plans for the future are markedly different than his brother's were at his age.
I guess I have a different history than Michael because I have a bunch of people like telling me go to college. They're here to support me.
Yeah, AJ just went on a college tour, an HBCU college tour. So
that's
he got
great.
To how many schools? 8 schools?
No, 13.
No. That's cool. Good for you. That's awesome.
Tell me about this camp that Michael sent you to at Columbia.
Oh. So a few years ago, I was sent to this tech camp at Columbia because at that time I was really into programming and I wanted to grow up being the next Bill Gates.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty big goal. Michael's sitting there going, all right.
Yeah.
That's a goal. That's a goal.
So think about that. In 15 years, this family went from one brother thinking he would grow up to be an auto mechanic to another brother knowing he's going to college and thinking he might grow up to be Bill Gates. But it's not just AJ who's got more school in his future.
So class is at 6:15, so we got about a half an hour.
4 nights a week after a full day of work, Michael heads across the East River to the City University of New York School of Law.
I just always wanted to go to law school. Professionally, it expands my portfolio of services or abilities that I will have to provide. But also, looking at myself and the difference between my friends and even family members. And the difference is I got a different education. That allowed me to take advantage of more opportunities.
Michael and AJ, too, probably will be able to live and save and, yeah, pay off their student loans because education gave them the ticket to this slice of the American labor force.
So this is the school here. I actually, for me, just the school in general represents future opportunity. And I think that's what most of us come here for, is the future ability to affect change.
So that was Michael Durant, the first in our 10-person construct of the labor force. 10 people we're using to represent the 164 million people who make this economy work. Later in the week, the other 9, some who didn't go to college but found opportunities in other ways, some who tried it but decided it wasn't for them, and some who went to college but aren't using their degrees. On the program tomorrow, though, we're heading west.
You know, I tell people all the time we have over 900 bars in Portland, which is a lot, but we have about 12 bartenders for every bar, and you don't need that many.
If you want to know more about how we use that data from the BLS and came up with the list of people you're going to be hearing from, we've got a whole piece about it at our website, marketplace.org/work.